We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
More memories are made when you're there for live NFL action. And when you need tickets, Ticketmaster's got you covered. As the official marketplace of the NFL, Ticketmaster gives you more ways to find your perfect seat. Their interactive seat map gives you 360-degree previews of your section to make sure you have the best view of those pivotal plays. And if your plans change, Ticketmaster gives you more flexibility to sell or transfer your tickets. Plus, mobile tickets make getting in on game day a breeze, and you can even customize your Ticketmaster app to rep your team's colors. Find tickets today at Ticketmaster.com/NFL.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into the Gilcast here on a Monday morning, not on Sunday night. We had to accommodate our guy, Sammy Reed. I mean, look, you guys, you know how it is. We're all grown up. Sometimes we got to do these on Monday morning. We know that you want it on a Sunday night, but we're here. I am sad to report that my team won. I beat you guys by 3 points. It was actually close enough that I actually don't know. And then our team lost to the Levitan, established the run train. My team lost to his team by like 2.5 points, where had my team passed his, I would have won even more. I also lost a 109 that eventually came down to a Javonte Williams versus Tony Pollard 1v1. Just some of the most brutal stuff. I thought yesterday was a fairly interesting slate in cash because I kind of thought there were a number of different routes to go. Not very often there are like three playable quarterbacks, 5-6 playable running backs. You know, not a ton of cheap wide receivers really outside of Thielen and Palmer. I don't really know. Like, I didn't really think Dell was that playable. And then people continued to make bad decisions at tight end and at defense and special teams. Honestly, like, there's been 2 weeks this year where I've scraped back about $1,100 just because people played a tight end that scored 0 points, where it's like some of my games are just like, I'm winning by 0.7 because Kincaid got 3.2 and whatever tight end people played, like literally got zero. So we're here Monday morning. Sammy, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing great. Thank you all for accommodating me. My boomer parents are taking a month long vacation to like Turkey, Istanbul, Italy, and so they wanted to like come over, see the kids last night, and I was like, well, I really actually just want to do the Gilcast and not kick it, but had to do it. So here we are. I agree with you, Davis. I thought this slate was super interesting. It won't be that interesting from like a perspective of all our lineups were essentially the same, except that Davis knows ball. But aside from that, like, we landed on similar things, but I thought the thought process was really, really interesting going into like, what are we going to do here with this late breaking news, Jimmy G being out, Deshaun Watson being out, and how you reacted to that, I thought was just either going to make or break what you did. So, Yeah, curious to hear everybody's thoughts. And I think what we should do is talk about, essentially, we all played the same lineup and talk about how the ETR train affected things and what we did different than that.
So the main thing that we did different was...
We jammed in Pollard. We played sharp. I'm not going to sit here and take any L's. I've been tilted on this all day.
Monday morning and we're not taking L's. Let's go.
Yeah, Nate,
if you play the slate 1,000 times, us getting in Pollard is so much better over the long term than people who played Puka and Zach Moss. People who played Puka and Zach Moss got so easy with this Pollard
thing.
You are so easy.
You gotta see things from both points of view, because the people who played Moss are listening to us and saying, you guys played Tony Pollard, who sucks, never gets any points, instead of Puka Nacua, who just gets 30 every single week. And honestly, it does.
And I want those people to continue to play me in cash games, because over an 18 week season, I will beat them.
If Cooper Kupp was 6,700, would you ever pass? That's the question.
Pollard at this price, Pollard legitimately has the exact same expected fantasy output as Christian McCaffrey. Pollard at this point.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't have the same role at the goal line. He does not have the same role at the goal line.
Going into this week, do you realize that Pollard had more red zone or green zone touches by 10 than Christian McCaffrey? He has been inefficient with some of those workloads. He's pacing the field, but he's more inefficient than Joe Mixon has been. Tony Pollard is an incredible buy low. He's literally averaging 0.8 points under expected versus what he should be, when his average career is like a 1.2 fantasy.
But do we not lend any credence to the argument that it's much easier to be the Lightning guy than the Thunder guy?
Point 0.8 is egregiously low. 0.8 is lower in fantasy efficiency than a Joe Mixon, Ezekiel Elliott. Even Ezekiel Elliott was a 0.9 last year, 0.95. So if Pollard even gets close to 0.95, Pollard at 21 points, expected points a game, is a smash at 7,800, whatever.
All right, let's go through the team that we played. So this was the team I played.
Hold on, Davis. I just want to ask the question. I don't know if I believe it, but Tony Pollard is now 26, maybe 27.
Yeah.
Did we waste Tony Pollard's prime not being a bell cow?
So yes. I don't think it was wasted. I mean, obviously he should have been getting the touches the entire time. What I think happened is two things. One, the Cowboys have literally yet to play a normal game. They played four games. They have not played a normal game where they just normally, both teams get 8 or 9 drives. There's no defensive touchdowns. The coaches are calling games normally. Like even the Arizona game, Mike McCarthy and Brian Schottenheimer just have their thumbs up their ass, just like messing around. That was like the most normal game, and Pollard got 18 in that game without a touchdown, right? But the Cowboys defense scored twice yesterday. They got to the red zone a couple times, and Pollard got chances, did not score a touchdown, whatever. Maybe an argument that he trained differently in the offseason. Certainly he looks a little bit bigger. I bet he probably gained 5-8 pounds or something to prepare to be tackled 300 times this year. I'm open to the argument that Pollard has lost half a step as a result of that, and that whatever made him special, maybe he is just Joe Mixon now.
Mixon, like he's literally less efficient than even Joe Mixon, than even Alexander Mattison, than even Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, he's 0.8 fantasy points over expected is egregiously low. It's like benchable. I mean, he's been 1.2, 1.3 for his career. He might go down to 1 at the end of the year. He might lose 30% efficiency, but he is not going to lose. He's not going to end the year at 0.8. He just won't.
And for my money, I mean, obviously I'm not a scout. He looks all right to me. I mean, there were a couple runs even yesterday against the Patriots where he totally looked like Tony Pollard. Like there was a first down run where he just slithered through three defensive linemen, made a linebacker miss, 13-yard run or whatever. Like, but that people are looking at our lineup and saying we are playing bad because we didn't play Nacua. And I am open to that. And there is something that we should have done or that I was thinking about that I didn't have the stones to do, that when we'll get there in a second. But the lineup that I played, Aiden O'Connell, Tony Pollard, Kyren Williams, Keenan Allen, Josh Palmer, Adam Thielen. Then the decision that I made was I played Dalton Kincaid for $200 less than Pat Freiermuth. His team scored 48 points. He saw five targets. He didn't get there. Now, he did. Dawson Knox got shuttered. He ran 20% more routes than Dawson Knox. So, again, I do think that is a ball-knowing thing. I mean, obviously, Freiermuth projected the best, but the interesting thing was there was no tight end who really projected that well. It was just, so Freiermuth ended up 43%. Kittle was 10%. Tanner fucking Hudson, who I actually think Tanner Hudson, I actually think the Anthony Richardson, Tanner Hudson team that people played was better than the Aiden O'Connell Freiermuth team. I have regrets of not playing that. I think the people who got to that team played the best and certainly played better than I did.
Was that a 1v1 or a 2v2?
No, it was like, one of my buddies played it. It was like Anthony Richardson. It was Anthony Richardson, Tanner Hudson, and that all lineup also did not have Moss. That team also did not have Moss. I don't remember. I think it was maybe Thielen.
I have that lineup pulled up.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah. Read it, please.
It's Adam Thielen, Anthony Richardson, Christian McCaffrey, Joshua Palmer, Keenan Allen, Kyren Williams, Panthers, Puka Nacua, and Tanner Hudson.
There we go. Oh, there
Panthers.
We go. So it was Nacua over the Pollard spot in our lineup to get there, which I actually think
is
good.
It was Puka and went down to Panthers D and went to Tanner Hudson, which I actually do think, like,
I think that's playing good. I think
that's playing good. So, I think that's playing good. It's getting up to A Rich over AOC. There was some, I actually think that lineup, fully agreed, is sharper than that massive train.
Yeah.
And it was sharper than our lineup too, because we got lucky as shit to get 12 points from Aiden O'Connell. Aiden O'Connell deserved zero fantasy points for that performance.
So that's true. I mean, we, after watching like three Raiders drives, we were like, holy shit, what have we done? Yeah. Like, this guy is NFL quarterback.
And actually, you can argue that either way, because he got the 1 yard touchdown. So let's say he gets the 1 yard touchdown, but then, I mean, Devontae Adams was in the end zone.
He was in the end zone. It was clear as day. I was at a bar. And so they have these TVs, you know, all over the room and you can barely see. And it was like, oh yeah, that's a touchdown. It was so, so, so obvious. And then they hurry up in the very next play. They're going to sneak it in and he can't get three inches to get in the zone. And then they give it to Jacobs on the next play. It was one of the most tilting experiences because he was like 25% owned in that neighborhood in like the large field double ups. It was not
inconsequential. That touchdown would have been a pretty big swing. My team ended up cashing all the... It's Herzig has been all over this, but you know, the score difference between the multi-entry double ups and the single entry, like it's a huge discrepancy. I think my team would have fallen short in some of the multi-entry ones, but
I don't play multi-entry.
I don't play those either.
I don't even enter them. Like, why? No, why do it?
Multi-entry is getting in bad for sure.
Yeah. You're paying high rake and then you're just playing a bunch of tough lineups. Like, what's
so I
even,
guess
even these big single entry ones, I mean the cash lines is significantly higher than your average head-to-heads. Like, I scrape all of my average head-to-heads and look at my what the cash line would be if that was my double up, and it's these double ups are sharper fields for sure.
Yes.
Yep.
So couple chalk bust spots, guys I didn't even really consider. Jamar Chase was 30% owned. I didn't see that team. I guess I did. They just straight up 1v1 played Chase over Pollard.
Yeah, Chase was the same price as Pollard, and a lot of people went there.
Yeah, that's it. That's egregious, IMO. Egregious.
No, I'm not gonna say that either. No,
it's not egregious.
It's Jamar Chase.
It is egregious.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is, man. Like, look at the Bengals. Joe Burrow can't move. That team is dust. It's all bad. Like, you don't want this smoke. And I think just truly, like, oh, I have two high price players I can play. I'm going to make one of them this guy.
I think you're overrating how bad the Bengals have been. This is not what we're going to see out of the Bengals for 17 weeks.
There is
They're the worst offense in football. They have three.
But I'm saying there is going to be a regression to somewhat of a mean, and Ja'Marr Chase is still Ja'Marr Chase. 7,800 Ja'Marr Chase is not a bad play in cash games. Like,
let me just tell you, Ja'Marr Chase is the Ponzi scheme of this year. Like, people took him over CMC in drafts.
Well, what if
he's going to shove it down your throat? Sammy, you are going to hate this take in 5 weeks.
I'm not trying to tell you like Ja'Marr Chase is bad, but like this is, you know, I mean, this is like the sinkhole, man. Like, if Joe Burrow doesn't figure it out, I mean, here's the thing. Like, now that
it might be Zach Taylor is an idiot too. I mean, that's got to be part of it.
Yeah.
It's fully on Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow legit can't throw. He can't drive any power into any of his throws. Even though he can't move, he's completely immobile, and his throws are, I mean, he's just lofting it up there.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Let me throw a take out to you guys, because this was the team I wanted to play, but did not have the stones to play. And it was the Levitan team, but with DeAndre Swift and the Ravens defense instead of Zach Moss and the Browns defense. It would have been extremely IKB. I played 100% DeAndre Swift in tournaments. He was my favorite running back play of the slate, other than
A-Chain. Sure.
And I just, you know, at the end of the, I mean, I think Swift was a way better play than Zach Moss. I really never wanted to play Zach Moss.
So that's the thing. So our lineup
was born out of not wanting to play Zach Moss.
That's right. So let's talk about that certain point, because Zach Moss, for his price, you know, this guy had gotten 30 carries the week before. He was getting like essentially 100% of the snaps. To get that for 6K, you look at that and the projection systems are going to be like, yes, this is great.
But the projection systems were not all over Moss. I think that is an interesting thing, is that once it became clear Richardson was going to start, he got degraded pretty good by most of the projection systems. Like, I don't think Cardi played him.
Yeah, and he should, right? Because like that goal line role is really big, and A-Rich really cuts into that. So that like projected touchdown equity goes way down. I think the reality is Zach Moss is like this journeyman, right? Who isn't
but so is Kyren Williams. Like, Kyren Williams is not good.
Yeah, Sammy, I don't think it's the journeyman take. I think the reality is I thought that A-Rich would take all of his red zone equity.
Yeah.
And that his overall rushing volume would go down. The reality is we were wrong and kind of got lucky. I'll be honest. When I look at the workload that he got, Zach Moss was in play at 6K.
But of course he was in play.
We didn't know that.
Of course he was in play, but it was such a fragile situation because you're basically taking a team. You're playing A-Rich and Moss together, who are going to be pretty negatively correlated the way they play. Like, obviously, if the team goes ham, you're doing fine. But if a situation occurs like it did, where they find themselves down 17-0 or 23-0, whatever that was, it was like, yo, you're in big hurt. You know what I mean? And Zach Moss is not like this extra skilled pass catcher who has a ton of like pass catching equity, all this stuff. And so I really did not want to play Zach Moss and A-Rich. Obviously, I was going to play A-Rich before the AOC news broke. And I said, oh, this guy's never played an NFL snap. Got to jam him in. So that was real sharp. But like,
Aiden O'Connell is super shitty. I mean, I just really can't believe we got away with this.
At quarterback, at 4K, when you have Devontae Adams, Jacoby Myers playing the way that they will in that game environment, there's a certain floor that just being on the field.
And he was at that floor, buddy. I mean, I don't know how he could have gotten any less, because he was so terrible.
I think Aiden O'Connell is going to be a competent NFL quarterback. He's going to be on the field getting fantasy points, and what he allows the rest of my lineup to be was I would do the Aiden O'Connell thing again.
Yeah. So, but here's the thing, like, it cost. So essentially it was like, okay, we're not going to play Moss. We're going to play Tony Pollard. And I felt
it cost us Nacua.
And so it was like, okay, if Nacua doesn't score a touchdown and we play Thielen instead of Nacua, I think that they're not like super close, but I think the chasm between those two is smaller than the chasm between Pollard and Zach Moss. And when
when Thielen was just clearly under. You guys know, I don't even like Adam Thielen. Like, it was hard for me to click that button. Like, I played three guys I absolutely hate in Keenan Allen, Josh Palmer, and Adam Thielen. Like, that was like for me, that was just like pull. And of course, I get this absolute floor ball game from Keenan Allen. So in the end, Zach Moss ends up projecting for 14.3 points in full PPR. On ETR, which is interesting, because if you're just running raw optimals, that was less points than Javonte Williams, Rashad White, Alexander Mattison, Miles Sanders, Joe Mixon, which is like, you know, if people are just running raw optos, they would not have been get. So the Moss was in sort of like informed by the projections, but also a little bit of an IKB. I mean, in the end,
at the workload Moss got, I would say that we were wrong. Like,
I agree.
I understand. I didn't want to play Moss. But Moss got 18 rushing attempts, had like an expected DraftKings score of like 16. Like, yep. That was at 6K, I should have played Moss. But like,
I think we did play bad and got lucky with the Pollard, Puka, like all that stuff. Like, I think we played bad and got there.
Well, here's the other.
I think we made the right call, though.
Let's not forget this. What this swap also allowed us to do, it wasn't a 2v2, it was a 3v3, right?
It was not play the Browns defense, which
it was not play the Browns defense and play the Ravens instead.
And I thought the Browns defense was basically the dumbest play, because you're going into a spot where you have this rookie quarterback. And I guess maybe in an alternate universe where AOC doesn't start, people might have played Dorian Thompson-Robinson. I mean, he did run four times for 26 yards, but he is like way worse defensive matchup. It's outdoors. The total for that game was, I think, closed at 38.5. That was like,
he didn't have a great preseason like AOC.
He did have a good preseason.
Did he? Okay. Good. I don't watch preseason.
He was like kind of an interesting guy at UCLA, but the overwhelming majority of the evidence to me suggested the Ravens were just going to smash. And the Browns defense was never going to face that many pass attempts. Your hope was, with Watson playing, their 2.5-point home favorites, that they win the game. Lamar eats a couple sacks, you know, whatever. And the Browns get their 8 points. But with DTR starting, I really just thought it was pretty bad. I didn't play the Browns defense at all in tournaments. And the Ravens seemed like a nut spot. Like, John Harbaugh against a rookie quarterback making his first start, Cooper's banged up, Chubb's out. Like, it just felt
sharp to play the Ravens. Sharp.
Or going down to the Panthers would have been sharp, which we
Correct.
I think both of those two moves were sharp. I think staying on the Browns after all that news had come is just kind of sticking to your prior in a way that I don't think you should.
Yeah, you're just like, oh, their DVOA and yards per attempt allowed through three games is so elite. Like, we're just going to jam it. Like, no, dude, no. And I think to your point, Davis, the point about the Ravens really not putting the ball in the air enough to be able to put up a good score for Cleveland is like a really good one. Like, I didn't even consider Cleveland after the Deshaun Watson news, because the game is often going to turn out the way the game turned out.
Yeah, where Gus Edwards is just chunking the ball down your throat and you don't even have an opportunity to score points.
Exactly.
Versus the Panthers facing, you know, Kirk Cousins and his
That was the thing that made – ultimately, I'm going to say the Richardson, Nacua, Panthers defense, Tanner Hudson team was the smartest team, and those are the people who played the best this week, because they got the sharp side of, like, all the mistakes that the field made, right? Like, the Moss mistake, the Freiermuth mistake, the Browns mistake, Aiden O'Connell having absolutely no ceiling. Like, they totally got there. I do want to say, though, I'm going to keep doing this Kincaid thing, assuming he remains around the salary, because like the stuff is out there for him. Like, tight end, the thing that has happened is that tight end scores have not mattered at all this year. No, this is actually true. It's disgusting. Jonnu Smith and his 95 yards in London on Sunday morning, the most receiving yards a tight end has had in a game this season. Like, tight end scores have not
mattered. My favorite
stat
I've heard.
Which is why, like, the Durham Smythe, Tanner Hudson plays have been totally fine, because you're just not getting buried by anyone. Yeah. Kelsey doesn't have over 70 receiving yards in a game this year.
Tight end unders are about the only thing I've been winning on Prize Picks this year. They keep putting up Kelce at like 75.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Tony Pollard over rush yards this week did not do me well on Prize Picks, Nate. I will say, you know, you remember, I think it was two seasons ago, the season where I was like the cheap tight end whisperer and just like ran so hot. I think I've regressed to the mean because I played Pat Freiermuth and I didn't want to do it. And I was like,
everyone did.
Yeah, I know, but I knew it was bad. I knew it was awful. Like,
so I looked and I said, Davis, are you being stubborn? Are you just being a dick with this Kincaid stuff? And I went and looked. Kincaid has played more snaps in every game just because the Bills run more plays. So he's on the field more. He had 12 targets heading into this game. Pratt Freiermuth had 9. The total for that game was
53.5 by far and away the highest of the slate.
The total for Texans Steelers was 39.5, I think, off the top of my head. Like, I just
generous.
I did not think playing Kincaid for $200 less was bad.
Don't regret not playing Kincaid. I regret, and I'm going to say this because this was a very mentally weak moment by me. I was afraid of coming on this podcast wearing the L, getting roasted by Davis Maddock, not the way I wanted to start my Monday morning. I wanted to play Zach Ertz.
I'm not
besmirching any Ertz players. Or if let's see, what was Ertz in the massive $50 double up? Let's see here. I'm sorting by ownership. Ertz was, I mean, he's not even 3.48% owned in the
Ertz,
massive.
Ertz honestly was the play. I mean, he gets the volume. It was in a game environment that we thought that San Francisco was going to put up points and Arizona would be passing most of the time. Yeah. Ertz like dropped a touchdown in the end zone. He gets the volume. It's gross, but like.
Yeah. Freiermuth's volume has been 4 targets, 1 target, 4 targets. You know what I mean?
He's barely averaging 5 expected DraftKings points a game. It's like,
I don't know why I played him. I just saw the projections. I saw everybody else was going to play him. I didn't want to get, you know, dunked on by Davis Maddock. I was like, well, you know, it's kind of similar.
And weirdly, for some people, by the way, this was another thing. There were some people played Chig in high stakes stuff. Like, he was more owned in high stakes stuff with Burks out. Yeah. And Chig outscoring Freiermuth meant that some of those teams won, just 1v1. They ended up winning. I just like,
at the tight end position this year, Zach Ertz has 51 expected fantasy points. 51. He's second in the league in fantasy.
How many does Freiermuth have? Like 23?
Both Freiermuth and Kincaid have like 27, 25. Yeah. So basically Ertz has what they have combined.
Yeah. So I just like I don't think we played 100% optimally, even, you know, pre-lock or whatever. I do think the Richardson people played the best, but I do think we can pat ourselves on the back for the defensive stuff. And I'm going to pat myself on the back.
I think Pollard, I think Pollard regresses. I think Pollard ends the season closer to 1 fantasy points over expected. I don't think he's going to be as efficient as he has been in the past. I do agree with that adjustment. Like, he's probably 30% less efficient than he was, but he's 0.8 right now. He's not going to end the season worse than Ezekiel Elliott, worse than Joe Mixon, worse than Miles Sanders. Like, he's not that inefficient.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not taking the L on Tony Pollard. I'm riding or dying.
I'm taking the L from a roster construction perspective. I'm not taking the L on Pollard, the play, but I'm taking the L from a roster construction perspective because I think they're.
When I look at the train and I look at, let's play this slate 1,000 times. Adam Thielen plus his volume, Pollard plus his volume versus Zach Moss and Puka Nacua. I think we're on the better side of that.
No, because Moss totally got the volume. And Puka.
How many targets did Zach Moss get in a game where they trailed by 23? How many,
one.
Nate?
He got one.
With Anthony Richardson, I don't think he's going to get the same target volume that he has had.
The passing volume's not going to be there. No one on
the
team saw more than 5
targets. Surprisingly there.
Yeah. I bet, I don't have it up, but I bet Nacua has got to be like 3rd in the NFL in Whopper behind like Tyreek and Adams.
Yeah, but this week he actually didn't get the crazy volume. This week he just had the efficiency. I mean, Thielen was only like 4 expected points less than Nacua this week.
Yeah. All right, let's do tournaments. Kind of a frustrating week for me because my reads were 100% correct. Like, I was very close to biting off. a decent score, but the Dolphins couldn't keep up with the Bills. And I played Tyreek or Waddle and all these teams. So this is the team I played. I played all the $50 single entries this week. This is just, I think, the most interesting roster construction team because it was two punt wide receivers. So Josh Allen at 6%, good. I played 100% DeAndre Swift and Devin Achane at my running back spots. I thought I was so rich after the first quarter. Swift gets three targets on the first drive, scores on the second drive, and I'm like, dude, he's gonna get 40. Like, I'm so rich. Achane did completely get there at 5% owned. He gets 30 points. This lineup also had Diggs.
It's kind of crazy that Achane put up 50 points last week or whatever and was not mega owned, you know?
That's DFS now, dude. People are really only care about the projectable workload. It's like efficiency doesn't matter anymore.
Hate this now game.
I was also surprised by this. I thought Justin Jefferson was going to be really low owned, and he was, and I worked Jefferson in on some of my teams as well. But Tyreek at 9%, I guess it was just a function of there not being that many attractive cheap plays. But Tyreek,
he was so expensive, man. He was like 9,200.
Yeah, and Diggs was cheaper. Waddle was cheaper. Gabe Davis was cheaper. Like, there were ways to get to that game. So this lineup at wide receiver, Tyreek, Diggs, Marvin Mims, and Quentin Johnston. Johnston was like my flag plant of the week. He actually ran the routes. He only played 33 snaps, but he ran 22 of, I think, 31 dropbacks for the Chargers. He had a touchdown where the defender knocked it out of his hands. I mean, it really was just leverage on Palmer, I just think Palmer and Keenan. I mean, so
Josh Palmer is dead to me because when you have the over on Josh Palmer 3.5 receptions on Prize Picks, and he gets 8 targets and has 2 egregious drops.
No, the one drop was egregious. The second one was not. It got knocked out of his hands.
You gotta have strong hands, mate. You're an NFL receiver. Like, let's go. Anyway, he lands on 3 receptions. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Suck ass.
But it was just like I'm just a little frustrated because I do think I had a Lamar Andrews team in one of them. Lamar was in one of the $50 single entries. Lamar was 0.5% owned and Andrews was 2.2% owned.
Yeah, this is what we talked about last week. You got to martingale this, just like every week have a Lamar and Andrews team.
But what ended up winning was you had to have CMC and you had to have one of Diggs or Brown and you had to have Nakua. I mean, Nakua was, you know, 35 points at, which is like, and I think that's playing fine. I mean, I'm looking at the lineup that won 10K. This must have been one of the smaller red zones. And he played Fields at 7%, DJ Moore at 4%, Cole Kmet at 3%. Like, this is a perfectly fine lineup. Also, another thing that Lamar Andrews team, I fucking played Elijah Moore on it. The bring back stuff in these low total games is just dead. Just like, there's no reason to do it. And I should have known better. Like, that another 4K wide receiver would have been that much better. Like, I probably would have played Tank Dell, who did nothing. But, like, I should have known better. That shit was so dead.
Yeah, so I had an interesting takeaway. I played around with the Sims this week a lot. And what I was finding was that the bring backs, anytime you were using a bring back and forcing it into one of the high value positions, like running back or wide receiver, it was suboptimal. But when you were using a bring back in a tight end position where no one meaningfully separates from the field typically, and so the correlation there gives you a little upside. So that's kind of something I did, was I only used a bring back in the tight end position slot and didn't waste a bring back in the spots where there was meaningful ceiling separation at other one-offs.
That's what got me so heavily on the Allen stuff over Tua, which is that I used SaberSim this week and I ran just with my settings. I ran 20 teams, you know, all that stuff. And they were like all Josh Allen teams. Allen, a little bit of Kincaid, a lot of Diggs, a little bit of Gabe Davis. Like, it was all, so that felt pretty strong. And then I just IKB'd the Swift and the Achane stuff. And I mean, I just min cashed a bunch of teams this week because every team had, every team also had Kincaid. I also played Kincaid in all these teams and he didn't get there. All right, Sammy, your turn.
Okay. This one I put in the power sweep, the $150 three max power sweep.
Overlaid a little bit, so keep an eye on that for next week.
Oh yeah, I mean that's it's a really good tournament, man. Really good tournament. Not if you put in the type of team that I put in per se, because I was not sharp. I did stack this Miami game, but I did it this way. I stacked Tua with Jalen Waddle. With
what did Waddle end up owned?
Oh, great question. Let me pull that up. Jalen. So I'll give you the percentages on all these guys. Actually, Tua ended up 5%. Waddle was 8%.
That's surprising because Waddle was the one that everyone was talking about on shows. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. But nobody did it because he was at this price point.
Yeah. And everyone just played Keenan Allen instead.
Right. Yeah. And his three receptions. Good job. So I double stacked Tua with Durham Smythe and Waddle. Durham Smythe. Yeah, obviously. And, you know, just like you, Davis, when Durham Smythe catches 40 yards on the first three snaps, I was like, yep, I'm rich. Yep. Like, this is great. I wonder what I'm going to do with all this money. Didn't end up coming to fruition because Jalen Waddle, in fact, is dead somehow. And I brought that back with Stefon Diggs. I paid up for him. So that was really nice. I played Stefon Diggs as the bring back in this lineup. Then at running back, I played DeAndre Swift, who is also one of my favorite guys. And I played Josh Kelly with the Chargers.
I played Kelly on one team because I was just going to be so sick if he actually did it this week.
Yeah,
I just decided it was the ultimate alpha move to have like no hindsight bias at all. And so I was just recency bias.
Turns out dude just stinks. Like it's just at the end of the day, turns out he just stinks.
That's right. Another no target game for Josh Kelly. I think he got a full complement of snaps in three straight games. But he got zero targets.
Like, in my head, he plays a different position than Austin Eckler. Like he
obviously,
he's not even the same. Yeah,
he yeah, yeah. So I played him and DeAndre Swift. I also played. I didn't play the Chargers DST in this lineup. I thought I did. No, I played the Bears DST. Real smooth. Yeah, I mean this was just all bad. Like I filled it out with Tank Dell and George Pickens. A bunch of snowflakes in this lineup.
Pickens
Kelly Snowflake
was owned, wasn't he?
Who's that?
Pickens was kind of owned.
He was 7%.
Yeah. Okay. I mean,
you know, more than you'd like. So, you know, it was just the highest owned player in this lineup was Swift at 20% and Dell at 20%. Everybody else was sub 10. So, you know, it was like not a super like owned lineup or anything. But at the end of the day, snowflake from Kelly, snowflake from Waddle, snowflake from Dell, snowflake from Pickens, snowflake from the Bears defense. Russell Wilson continues to own me. This lineup put up 105 points, minus $150 for your boy, Sammy.
All right, Nate, give the people what they want.
Well, I didn't play a ton of tournament teams this week. For some reason, DraftKings had weird prize pools in a lot of these things and didn't meet most of mine. So I only played a couple, but actually had a good tournament week again. I played three teams, two of them cash, one of them. This one here was like a 6X. So I did a Purdy double. I felt really good about the San Francisco Arizona game. That was probably my favorite game when I was looking at ownership. So I went, I had Purdy, McCaffrey, and Ayuk. And like I said, I brought it back with
Ayuk had to have been like free. Like he had like no one played him.
He was single digit. He was single digit along with Purdy. Brought it back with Ertz, who was like also low single digits. And then the other move that I really wanted to do to differentiate my lineup was take the Chargers D versus AOC. I thought that, you know, I wanted AOC in cash, but I thought Chargers D was a great move in tournaments off of people who are playing AOC in tournaments.
So sure.
Wanted leverage there. And then knew I was incredibly like one-off in this tournament with all of what I already had. So then I just filled it out with chalk and I had Kyren Williams, Keenan Allen, Josh Palmer, and Adam Thielen. So
nice. I played Kyren in most of my lineups. Like the one 100%. I spit out, I didn't play Kyren in, but like all my other tournament lineups. Like I just jammed Kyren in. Like it was one of those situations where it was like, yes, he's highly owned, but like we're talking about sometimes you run Sims and they're like, dude, you should be playing like 100% a ton of this guy. Yeah.
And that's what I did. So I played like all of the great play. I just played the best plays and then got different at where I thought I wanted to get different, knew I was going to have enough differentiation and then just didn't sweat the rest. So
very sharp, Nate.
This lineup put up 190. Obviously the Keenan, Palmer, Thielen thing, none of them went off. Like none of the chalk went off. So this wasn't going to have a chance to meaningfully separate, but
yeah. I mean the challenge with this lineup, Nate, is that you played Keenan, Palmer and the Chargers defense all together. And it's pretty hard for that confluence of events to really
work. Yeah.
Yeah. Come together. I think
the Chargers don't run the ball. Like even if the AOC Chargers D like worked out, like Herbert throws into the end of the fourth quarter, regardless if they're up 30 or not. Like I thought Keenan was going to be it didn't work out, but I feel okay about the construction. So yeah, I think overall that was my main team. And then the other teams that I built were like AOC Devontae stacks. Cause I thought Devontae had a chance to be like the ceiling type player you needed in tournaments. And then with AOC, I thought he'd get there too, but
yeah, I actually thought it was pretty sharp to stick with Devontae in tournaments. I wasn't playing AOC in any of them per se, but it was like, you know, I built all these lineups that were like centered around this game. And
yeah,
then
this dude got 13 targets and was not owned.
Yeah.
And so he was injured for a quarter or something.
Yeah. So, I think that's the thing is like, I wanted to like, when we heard Jimmy G was going to be out, I wanted to blow it all up. And then I thought, you know what? Like, I think we should stick with Devontae. He's going to get a ton of work regardless. Like, hopefully he can turn it in because he's goated. And then he's going to be sub 10% because everyone's going to jump off of it. So I stuck with Devontae where I had him. And yeah, I feel good about that.
Yeah. Yes. So overall, it was a good tournament. We helped buoy the three mans that I lost, even though getting there in the cash line.
You playing three mans these days, bro?
Oh, dude, I play a lot of three mans. Three mans are actually my most profitable over like a 4-year sample.
Interesting. Yeah, wow. I play a lot. When I used to play on FanDuel, I'd play a lot of three mans, but not so much on draft. It's just easier to enter them on FanDuel.
Oh, it's a pain in the butt to enter them on DraftKings, but I'd try to get at least 25 of my 50 at each entry level being three mans.
Wow. Oh, that is the other thing that tilts me is that I can only do 50. Like I get maxed out on them. I post all my head-to-heads and then I can't even enter because it's all about the rake level. So I think I've just abandoned them. All right, guys, we are going to go ahead and get out of here. Thanks for listening and good luck later.